This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further, literally. They cover all things travel finance, like which travel cards are actually worth the annual fee and which just look shiny, how to plan group trips that don't bust your budget or your friendships, when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices, and more. So travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Southwest has been the go-to airline for families for years. But with all the recent changes, basic economy, bag fees, flight credit expirations, is it still worth it to fly Southwest? Well, in this episode, I sit down with Brian Mullins, widely known as a Southwest Airlines expert, to break down what still makes Southwest shine and where the hidden sweet spots are today. And if you stick around, you'll hear Brian introduce a strategy he calls GTFO. I won't spoil what it means, but it's a fantastic approach to booking your awards travel that could help you save money, upgrade trips you've already booked, and unlock opportunities most travelers never see. If you've ever wondered how to stretch your points and miles even further, or are questioning if you should still fly on Southwest Airlines, this episode is for you. And just as a quick note, at the time of recording, Southwest had not yet given a start date to their assigned seating policy. However, we now know that this new policy applies for flights beginning January 27th of 2026.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. My name is DeAndre Koch. I've got a fantastic guest for all of you today. But before introducing him, just a quick reminder, you can catch all of these episodes in their full version, or their entirety, I should say, on YouTube, as well as for those watching on YouTube. Don't forget, every Friday, we have an audio only quick hits that's purely just travel and points and miles news that comes out on Fridays, and that's going to be through any of your audio-only platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. Now, on to our amazing guest today. I want to introduce to the show Brian Mullins. So Brian is an absolute expert when it comes to all things Southwest Airlines, and I'm super excited to have him on the show because with all the changes that have happened recently here with Southwest, there's a great question to ask, especially for those who that was their go-to airline for family travel, and say, are they still relevant? And so we're going to unpack a lot of those questions. Brian's also a listener of our show as well. We've DM'd many times behind the scenes. And so Brian, welcome to the show. Super excited to have you here today.
Oh, thank you, DeAndre. And thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to chatting with you today.
Absolutely, Brian. Absolutely. So before we get into the main topic that we wanted to cover today, as always, I would love to hear more about yourself. So where do you live? Where are you from? What do you do for a living? And then ultimately, how did you get into the points and miles world?
I live in Chicago and work as an attorney. I jumped into the points and miles world around 2009, 2010, after reading about what I thought was an intriguing strategy to earn some American Airlines miles. At the time, Citibank issued American Express, Visa, and MasterCard versions of the American Airlines $95 card. And it was possible to sign up for all three simultaneously and get the bonus for all three. And I thought that was really interesting and intriguing. And that was sort of the entry to the rabbit hole for me. And from there, I just kept going and have been going ever since.
So this opportunity came about over 15 years ago. That was really your aha moment when it came to points and awards travel. And obviously you were able to go down the rabbit hole from there. So I'm very curious. You're known in many, many groups as a Southwest Airlines expert. I've seen other places refer to you as a kingpin when it comes to Southwest. My question for you is, where did the passion or where did the knowledge, the deep dive into Southwest come from? Was it just the natural having a family aspect, or was there a specific thing that really pulled you in that direction?
Well, pretty quick in my journey into the hobby, I started to learn more and more about Southwest. And in Chicago, where we live, sort of halfway between Midway and O'Hare. And I had not really flown Southwest, save for one Vegas trip before that. And reading more and more about it, I realized quickly how well it could work for my wife and I to take domestic weekend trips, especially utilizing the companion pass, and how it opened up a style of travel that we had not really had before or thought about, which was weekend trips leaving after work and just heading to the airport and coming back Sunday and being able to really, as they used to say, get out and move about the country.
Got it. Well, that's a perfect segue into essentially what is the main question I have for you today, which is the fact that a lot of people, especially families, thought of Southwest as the go-to airlines of choice because of things like the free checked bags, as you mentioned, the companion pass, a lot of flexible policies to work with. But my kind of opening question for you, Brian, is with all the recent changes that they've announced, would you still say that they're the best option? What's your opinion now?
Well, my perspective is that each traveler's best option will vary from trip to trip, and it'll be influenced by their travel goals, their requirements, limitations. And to go along with that, there are tools that we have in this hobby, like the companion pass. And the companion pass is still an amazing tool. It's pretty well known. And having the ability through this tool to enable travel parties to all decrease the cost outlay, whether that's in paid or an award flight for multi-passenger travel, is really something novel and unique. So whether it'll be the best option or not, in my opinion, varies from person to person and trip to trip. But I think what's really important and the kind of crux of the question is that world of trips for which it will be the best option is probably narrowing under these new and some reinstituted changes regarding the limitations around basic economy and the flight credits restrictions that are being reintroduced and in a more limited fashion for the new basic fares.
Do you mind highlighting, since we're on the subject, I know this was something that we talked about in our quick hits and we've announced it, but this may be something that's newer for someone that really wasn't in the points and miles space, a newer listener that's just joining, that, you know, Southwest is one of the airlines on their checklist, or someone that for whatever reason was living under a rock over the last couple of months and not aware of all of the major announcements, because really the big one that was announced was the no more free bags. But there's a lot of other changes they made that if you aren't really in the travel world or travel news world, you probably didn't hear about. Do you mind just mentioning a few of the most recent changes that have kind of shaken up the Southwest world a bit?
Absolutely. I think there are categories of changes. There are the changes that I think first sort of rocked Southwest loyalists, and that was earlier this spring, where Southwest introduced several no-notice changes. And not that they were by themselves particularly problematic, but it was a different ethos of a company compared to what many Southwest frequent flyers were used to insofar as customer friendliness. And those changes were changes to the earnings on paid fares, slight reductions for want to get away and want to get away plus fares and a slight increase for business select fares. And then a no notice change for dynamically pricing awards in a variable ratio vis-a-vis the paid fare, the paid base fare, and also having that ratio vary by fare type. And later it kind of came out varied as well by demand for the particular flight. And so these are, on the whole, particularly customer unfriendly changes. They also announced that they would begin extra legroom seat installations. And those are kind of the first category of changes that occurred earlier this spring. And then May 28th was an important day in kind of the Southwest timeline this year, May 28th, 2025, in that basic economy fares were introduced and replaced want-to-get-away fares. And two of the biggest impacts were the inability or restrictions around changes to those fares and the removal of same-day changes, sort of part and parcel of the restriction of changes, and the limitation for same-day standby. Along with the introduction of basic economy, they introduced checked bag fees. And that's one that is really counter to years and decades, really, of Southwest marketing around bags flying free. And essentially, everyone who's checking a bag is going to have to pay unless they have a qualified exception or waiver or are flying under a business select or what will become a choice extra fare. And the other notable waivers are A-list and A-list preferred, or a card member or a companion pass traveler of either one of those categories of groups. And then May 28th, they also reintroduced expirations of flight credits, or as they were known in the past, ticketless travel funds. The worst of which was the introduction of a 6-month expiration for basic economy. And the expiration of the flight credit is based on the time of ticketing. So this can be particularly problematic because someone can book something further out than 6 months, decide prior to the flight they no longer want to take it, and they can't receive any residual flight credit back if it's been more than 6 months since the original date of ticketing. The 12-month expiration applies to the other fare types, which is consistent with prior to like 2022 when they had expirations. And what also came back that is frustrating for many people is the contamination of flight credit expirations when combining. So one can use up to 3 forms of payment for a Southwest ticket purchase. And if those instruments that are used for payment have expirations, the worst, in other words, the earliest expiration will apply to all of them, contaminating the expirations of later expirations if that reservation is later ticketed or canceled after ticketed. So that can be particularly problematic now because of the 6-month expiration on basic fares. And then the third bucket of changes are the changes that have been hinted at, discussed, described, but not yet been implemented. So extra legroom seating, preferred seating and standard seating categories, assigned seating is a big one for a lot of people, especially folks who may have hesitated flying Southwest in the past because it was open seating. Boarding groups instead of the famous stanchions that are at Southwest gates, and the renaming of fares into what they call fare bundles. So Want to Get Away became basic and will stay basic. Want to Get Away Plus will become choice. Anytime will become choice preferred, and business select will become choice extra. And commensurate with these changes, there will be changes in the credit card benefits and the tier member benefits.
Now, one of the questions I have for you, the 6-month ticket window, which I think that was a pretty incredible point that you made, because I didn't realize that when you mentioned, basically, if they do the basic economy ticket, they only get a 6-month window to reuse their flight credit. But if they book that flight 8 months ago, and they decide that they want to cancel or that ticket, they no longer get a credit. if it was a different fare class and they get the 1 year timeline, is it still from the time they purchased the ticket, or is that a different rule entirely and it is more so based on the date of cancellation?
Yeah, it is an unfortunate situation where the expiration is determined at the time of purchase based on the date of purchase or the earliest expiration of a payment instrument that may be used. And the combination of that with the expiration being a flyby date instead of a purchase date means that it is very possible in the first instance of booking a new ticket with a payment instrument that does not have an expiration to then later cancel it and have no residual value because it has been more than 6 months later if it was a basic fare.
So I could see why a lot of Southwest loyalists would really balk at pretty much everything that you just said. But from a transition standpoint, when I think of myself as a flyer, someone who's an American Airlines loyalist, essentially, even with status, and with status, I can fly American Airlines Basic Economy and still get upgrades. I actually still never pick American Airlines Basic Economy ever. I prefer having my seat guaranteed. I actually cannot stand, or could not stand, I should say, be flying Southwest and having this game of which seat are you going to get? Because even the few times I would pay extra for the, you know, A1 through 15 or whatever it's called, I've had many times where my previous incoming flight was delayed substantially. And by the time I boarded, they were already at the end of Group C. So I was stuck in the back in a middle seat instead of being one of the first people to board. So there's a lot of reasons why I'm just not a fan of Southwest at all from a traveler standpoint. I think from a company standpoint, they were fantastic. But from a traveler standpoint, I actually like a lot of these changes. I don't know how much you actually track the metrics of Southwest as a company, but are you seeing more people leaving, more people coming, kind of in the middle? What's your kind of feel as someone who's really connected with the Southwest groups, the forums, the blogs, those type of things?
I think it's too early to tell. Southwest is still in a major transition period. And you mentioned the assigned seating being important to you. It's not available right now, right? So they're in this period where they've alienated several groups of loyal travelers while also not having implemented the changes that will attract the travelers from other airlines that may have previously not flown Southwest. Whether it was the lack of assigned seating or the boarding process or the lack of extra legroom seating, you know, these are all things that are changing that we know are changing, but we can't utilize today. So I think it's really tough to say what the long-term impact will be, but it'll be very interesting to watch it play out.
Now, Brian, where do you see that Southwest still shines in comparison to the American Airlines, the Deltas, the United? Is it just the companion pass or is it something else as well?
I think you touched on one thing that's important, which is the friendliness of many of their employees, their customer relations team, and some of their policies. I think the all 737 fleet is nice for many people who may live in airports where their alternative is flying regional jets and they'd rather be able to stand up tall on an airplane. And I think their routes are important because their network offers nonstops or point-to-point service that competing carriers and legacy carriers may not offer. Now, Southwest, in my opinion, is becoming much closer to a hub and spoke model, but it's still serving many airports with planes larger than competitors. I also think the straightforward nature of Rapid Rewards is still a useful attribute. You're not going to get tricked if you're using points to overpay, but you're also often not going to be able to find any outsized value. And then for better or worse, I think the simple IT that they utilize, if you go through the booking process of a new ticket for Southwest and you compare that to the process for Delta or American or United, especially JetBlue, it is a much faster, more straightforward process in my experience. But it also is a more limited IT interaction, and it may change when assigned seating comes about.
Perfect, Brian. Well, I actually want to add in a little bit of additional information from you, because there could be someone listening that knows or has heard about the Southwest Companion Pass. And we've talked about a couple of times how it's still an anchor point. Just at a high level, can you explain how the Companion Pass works and why it's so attractive?
No problem. The Companion Pass offers a unique value proposition. And it enables the Companion Pass holder, once earned, and when it's earned for the remainder of the calendar year during which it's earned in the entire following calendar year, unless it's one of the promotional Companion Passes. But it enables the Companion Pass holder, once earned, to designate a companion that they can add to their reservation. It's technically a separate reservation and a different PNR. At any time from ticketing until shortly before the flight, the designated companion to fly with them for the payment only of the applicable taxes and fees. So it is very different than some of these companion fares that come along with credit cards like Alaska or Delta, where it's a one-time use, one ticket, you have to have the companion ready at the beginning. I think the flexibility that's afforded by the Southwest Companion Pass in whether you add the companion at the beginning, middle, or end of the booking to travel time period is really unique and can be leveraged to some value. I think also the ability to change one's companion three times during a calendar year is really useful if you are not always traveling with the same companion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a striking difference. I have never had the Southwest Companion Pass, but I have earned a few times the American Airlines, essentially the same thing. I think it's actually called a Companion Pass as well. On their credit card, if you spend a certain amount, I think it's like 15, 20, 25K maybe in a calendar year with the American Airlines card, then you earn that Companion Pass. Well, the way that one works, in summary, is basically you can add someone to your ticket and you only pay $100 charge to do so. And to be clear, that's a one-time thing. So once you use it, it's done. With Southwest, you're saying you can add someone on every flight you take, basically, for the entire calendar year. You can change them, change that person up to two different times. So I think three in total. And a lot of times, some of these flights, the taxes and fees are only $5.60. So you can have an extremely discounted flight for your player two or your partner or friend, whoever it may be. And that makes it super attractive. Did I say anything wrong there? Is that a pretty good summation?
No, I think that's great. I think the other important distinction is that it's last seat available. So you may have booked your ticket at the beginning at a rock bottom, let's say, you know, $69 fare. And 2 days before the flight, all that's left is the business select or choice extra fare for $500. You can still add your companion for $5.60. So the flexibility that it affords is a unique proposition insofar as companion passes, companion certificates in the various airlines.
So I'm sure, Brian, with all these different changes, there's still some sweet spots with Southwest. But before getting into that, my question for you, off the top of mind, are there times that you think with the new regulations or changes, maybe some people shouldn't default anymore to Southwest? I know there's obviously preferences about seating and different things like that, but does anything primarily come to mind where you're like, hey, this person that probably really loved to go outside of the free check bags, I think that's the easy give me, that they shouldn't default anymore to Southwest being their go-to?
I think if one is booking with award rapid rewards points, there isn't really a change, absent what you mentioned, that there are underlying changes to seating, boarding, and baggage. However, if one was undertaking a paid reservation, I think it does create more uncertainty and more question for many people, whether that is around the expiration that would apply if they were to cancel, or if it has to do more with some of the limitations around changes for basic fares. So I think it has created some situations where folks may have been ready to pull the trigger on Southwest, but wouldn't be under the new rules that they've instituted.
I do absolutely see that. And I think it's probably going to cause more people to do a deeper dive of what the other airlines can offer. For example, if you want free checked bags, which I know with Southwest, you can have your credit card, Southwest credit card, to help with that. But that also happens if you have an American Airlines card. So if you have an American Airlines card, you can get free checked bags for you and a bunch of other people as well on your same reservation. You know, you're going to still have assigned seating. That's not going to change. You're going to get some priority boarding, not necessarily, well, I shouldn't say truly priority, like business class level or elite status, but actually one of the first economy class boarding groups. So there's going to be benefits with different airlines that could be comparable. And someone might say, you know what, because of these changes, let me see what I can get from these other airlines instead. But I do think that companion pass and the ability to still say, hey, do you want to come with me on this flight? It's going to be $6 for you, is a no-brainer still, which makes all of this probably take a little bit more, I don't say soul searching, but a little bit more research and analysis for a family as opposed to just having a default.
Definitely. I think it's a new world for Southwest flyers in many respects, but in other respects, like the companion pass, it's, you know, still at the heart of things.
So Brian, talking about sweet spots, I know you mentioned there's not a ton when it comes to Rapid Rewards. Rapid Rewards is very is simple, easy to use, but not a ton of sweet spots for outsized value. For the families who are trying to maximize what value they can, are there routes or regions or anything that like that does stand out with Southwest right now, at least?
I think one thing that Southwest offers ahead of other competitors is consistent value. You don't necessarily have to worry as much whether you're getting a half cent point redemption or a 3 cent point redemption, because the window or the range of redemption values is generally in the 1, maybe 1.1 cent up to 1.8. And so there are a couple situations where it's more likely to be closer to that higher end of the range that people can consider. The first is a bit surprising to many, but it's really just the underlying math of how the award fare is determined. And that is, the cheaper the flight, often the better the redemption value. And the reason is that the taxes and the fees that are pulled out are a bigger percentage. And you're not charged in points for some of the fees that certain airports will implement. When it's an award ticket, you might just be paying that $5.60. And then the other is, now that they have been what I call doubly dynamic, both in terms of the ratio they will apply and dynamic in the traditional sense of relative to the paid fare, it seems like off-peak, less desirable, less full, less popular routes, times, days may afford a little bit better value. I don't know if I would go so far as to say outsized value, but perhaps better value.
Love it. I know there's always going to be some sort of nuanced or niched aspect with all of these airlines, with all these carriers, and with award travel in general. So I figured even with all of these changes, there would still be something to look for, a little bit of a needle in a haystack when it comes to traveling with Southwest. So I'm going to transition a little bit because you have an interesting coined term that and wrote an incredible article about it on the site Miles Earn and Burn. And the acronym is GTFO, but it's not the GTFO that most people would assume that it means. Can you explain what GTFO stands for and what is it about?
Sure. So I use GTFO a bit tongue-in-cheek, knowing what it probably means to most people, to mean garden the flexible options as a strategy to utilize gardening flexibility and optionality to mitigate uncertainty and uncontrollable factors that impact travel. And I think this is a strategy that has been able to be implemented and is implemented by a lot of folks more recently, especially the domestic carriers changing their flexibility and changeability of award reservations and the free cancellation that has arisen during the pandemic. You know, this has pretty much always been there as a strategy for rental cars. But it has also been there for many hotels with cancellation policies that might have just been so many days or weeks before the stay commences. But it has really come into its own with airlines in the past 5 years.
So can you explain what is gardening the flexible options? Because you've said that this has existed, but what exactly is it?
Sure. So when I say gardening, I think of the practice of booking and monitoring travel reservations while consistently analyzing whether the booked reservation remains the best choice, especially if it's been impacted by some outside force, whether that's a schedule change or a competing carrier changing the next best alternative. And gardening insofar as changing and whether that reservation may be improved through some sort of action or change and the activity of undertaking that action or change or leaving it alone for the reservation that we're talking about. And I think gardening strategies, especially if one's using multiple travel options reserved with flexible change and cancellation terms, really lessens the negative impact of these factors and enables travelers to have more adaptable travel plans.
So Brian, can you give us a real world example of what does that look like? I think in theory, it sounds like, okay, I've got multiple reservations, but is it just simply, I know I'm going to, as an example for my honeymoon, I'm going to Hong Kong, Fiji, New Zealand. I've been monitoring the best route to get to Hong Kong. I booked it and I see and wait to see if possibly a better option comes around and then also book that. Is that the simple way of saying it or something more elaborate behind it?
I think that's certainly part of it. Maybe a real world example will be helpful. So at the beginning of the year, me and 8 other family members flew back from Hawaii after spending the holiday break in Hawaii. And it was originally booked with 4 of us in Polaris and 5 in premium economy. And everyone was booked in a flexible, freely cancelable and refundable manner. And we were just monitoring it, gardening it. And one day United decided to throw a second nonstop on the route on the day we were traveling. And that opened up new possibilities because it was a completely empty plane, you know, and we were traveling on a peak day. And to fill the plane, they offered Polaris at a much lower rate than the other flight. So we were able to change so that all 9 of us were flying in the same Polaris cabin for about the same amount of outlay that had 4 in Polaris and 5 in premium economy, because the new flight afforded an opportunity to book at a rate lower for the Polaris cabin, but higher than the premium economy cabin than we had booked before. And it was a brand new flight. And other opportunities that may arise and can be gardened that I've utilized are partner award availability, not existing at the time of booking, but becoming available later, whether that was on the flight you wanted to book but couldn't, or the flight you're already on, a nonstop being introduced on a route that was previously a connecting itinerary, a new hotel opening, or a hotel opening rooms for award availability that weren't previously there. I think there are a multitude of occurrences that lead people to be able to garden their flexible travel reservations to improve their travel experience and be able to have more travel and better travel.
Now, are there specific tools that you're using, like alerts with Seats.arrow, alerts with Points, to track all of these things? Or are these things that you're actually doing manually?
So both is the candid answer. I utilize several tools, but I also could utilize more. So I think PointsPath is a really unique opportunity to instantly compare an award price versus the underlying paid price. I think the alert function that they have is really useful. The Seats.arrow alerts that you mentioned are really good. The MaxMyPoint and similar on the hotel side. And then what is sort of like the original one is the auto slash for rental car reservations, right? And I think the frequent miler team has done a really good job comparing and contrasting many of these different tools in various posts and discussions over the years. And it can somewhat be finding the right tool for the individual and what they like, and also whether the tool is worth it or not, right? Because zero of these tools show you the Southwest award price at the moment.
So for someone that's a beginner, just to kind of keep this a little bit succinct and say, hey, do this, that they're new to award booking, they're new to points and miles, or newer, I should say. So they've been listening to this podcast, they've listened to blogs, they've acquired the information, and they're like, okay, I'm ready to finally book a flight. Maybe they've been doing some practicing, right? So they've gone ahead and they've planned out a fake trip just to see what that process would look like. And then now they're ready to do it themselves. So they go ahead and they book their flight from, I don't know, from here to Italy, let's say JFK to Milan, right? They have that booked with Emirates. So simply put, basically, they should keep monitoring that flight, or not just that flight, but other ways to get to Italy or Milan just to see if there's a better option available. Is that a kind of a simple way to explain the course of action?
Yeah, I think that's really a good example, because unless they really wanted to fly Emirates, right? In which case, they're going on that flight. And even in that case, they can still monitor it, use Google Flights to see if a paid business class or first class fare comes into an opportunity to book at an amazing rate using bank points through a booking portal. But also, if they're flexible on their routing, especially if getting to JFK meant positioning, they can track through alerts all sorts of various other flights and routes and monitor it themselves if they so choose. And it really can be a lot of effort and a change in the approach. But like kind of anything, the more one does it, the easier and more routine it becomes. Like now I don't book a rental car without instantly going to auto slash and track the rental, right?
Got it. So I'm actually curious, because what would be your advice on the back end? So a perfect example is for myself on the same honeymoon I've talked about, and I mentioned this in my mid-year recap a couple months ago, was that I went ahead and I booked from New Zealand back to the United States with like a 10-hour flight from New Zealand to Singapore, then a 17-hour flight from Singapore to JFK. And that was one of the best award tickets I saw. But then a few days later, a week later, I saw availability through American Airlines, which was direct New Zealand to Dallas, one flight, one leg, 10-hour flight, and went ahead and booked that. Now, I had already transferred my points from, I think, probably Amex to Aeroplan to book the Singapore Airlines flight. But then I had to separately transfer my points to Qantas to book this flight. And so when I canceled, I got 230,000 Aeroplan points just sitting in Aeroplan. Now, it's a great place to have points sitting, but what would be your advice to someone they see another opportunity, but it's going to cost them more transferable points, even though it's going to be a really good deal? Now, for me, I wasn't upset at that because we travel so much. I mean, it's just part of our nature. We're earning points, we're burning points, it's fine. But for a new person in points and miles, that might be a harder pill to swallow. So I'm curious, what would you say to that?
I think there are definitely pitfalls and concerns to watch out for when utilizing gardening and making the decision of whether to change or book a different option. I think, as you mentioned, the potential for stranded points is very real. And I've had stranded points expire. It's not a fun feeling. And the bigger that number, the more the difficulty in making the decision may be. But also with that, it can be a very personal decision, because if someone was in that circumstance, but also was like, hey, I think I want to go to Europe next year, Aeroplan is a great program to book for Europe, right? And it can be one where you got to weigh the pros and cons of keeping or changing an existing reservation. I think there are other pitfalls too, right? Probably unsurprising at this point, based on what we've talked about, it can take a lot of time to garden and book flexible options. And so it's a decision for each individual person about how much they want to put in and whether it's worth what they're going to get out. I think the potential for inconsistent bookings is real and potential problem, and can lead to, you know, the airline canceling a reservation if one isn't diligent on the various options they may have booked. But I do think most of these concerns can be overcome with a thorough considerations, but also good organization and appropriate moderation of implementing the strategies given one's specific circumstances.
Great explanation, Brian. I think that was fantastic and a really great, succinct breakdown of both pros and cons when it comes to this gardening approach, as you call it. Before we wrap up, I'd love to hear, you've been in points and miles travel for a considerable amount of time, longer than myself, in fact. And I know that you're big on family travel. You know, we covered Southwest. I'm really curious, what has been just one of your favorite points redemptions or trips that you've taken as a family and why? But really love to highlight something that someone could listen to and say, you know what, I would love to do that for my family.
Yeah, it is pretty difficult for me to pick just one. I've been lucky enough to utilize this hobby for many multi-generational trips. And those have afforded my children and parents the opportunity to experience new parts of the world side by side. And these trips have given me and my children, my parents and in-laws wonderful memories, like my mother-in-law's first visit to a lounge business class seat to travel overseas and reconnect with old friends in a place of the world she had always dreamed of going, but, you know, had never had the means to book for herself. And my parents being present for my son's first steps, because we were in the middle of a trip and on a connection waiting for our next flight to take off. And then I think seeing my own children's faces just light up at visiting historic places all over the world, whether it's castles that look like things they've read about in fairy tales, or, you know, majestic natural wonders and animals like reindeer in Sweden or the bison in Yellowstone. So I just feel like this hobby has given me and my family a tremendous amount of fantastic memories that have really improved our lives.
You know, Brian, that explanation, that answer right there was exactly why this podcast is called Revolutionizing Your Journey, because travel like this, points and miles travel, this type of life / hobby / game we play, however you want to call it, absolutely can revolutionize the things that we can do for our, not just ourselves, but for our loved ones, for our family, for our friends as well. And it's really interesting. I love the fact you didn't mention, oh, I flew Emirates business class, or we stayed at this resort in this country. it was the familial experiences that you connected with, the opportunities with, as you said, multi-generation. So both your kids, your parents, your in-laws, the what they were able to see and experience and the smiles that they were able to have on their face. I think that's huge. And at the end of the day, no matter who you are, I think points and miles and travel in general can really revolutionize the world that we all live in and the world that we experience. And as a very loudly proclaimed dinkwad, you know, dual income, no kids with a dog couple, I don't have the opportunity to do the multi-generational travel as you do, but I can absolutely appreciate the impact that it's had for you and your family. So I really appreciate you sharing it from that lens. And I think anyone else, and most of our listeners probably very likely have children as well, could absolutely appreciate, like, wow, I can't wait to be able to do that, accruing more points, being able to take my parents, my grandparents, having them experience things that they've never done before. It makes an entire world of difference, especially when you add it with travel. So that hats off to you, Brian.
Oh, thank you.
So Brian, where can the listeners follow your journey, learn more about your adventures? Where's the best way that they can connect with you?
I think the best way is in many of the private groups on Facebook or other platforms like Boldly Go Travel on Facebook. I'm relatively active in many of those groups. If you want to follow my travels, I don't post very much, but Instagram, it's at findawaytravel. And, you know, I think it's the interactions with the members of these groups are the ways that so many people can really further their journey in this hobby.
I agree with that 100%. We have a growing Facebook group. It's not so large that you get lost in it. We've got a active Facebook Messenger group as well. A lot of it's referring to things like payroll on credit cards and other things, but people get to ask questions there. They ask questions in the group, and we have a great community that we've been building. Brian, I appreciate you not only being a part of it, also being a listener and being on the show today. Before we wrap this one up, who else do you think we should have on the show?
I think there are some great folks in this space that offer unique perspectives and have some really important thoughts and things to share. So it's kind of tough to pick just one. I think Julian Keel from Points Path, if he hasn't been on, would be a terrific interview. He's been in the space for a long time, and his tool is so user-friendly that it very quickly became something I utilize every day.
No, absolutely. Julian Keel, fantastic guy. He was actually back episode 38. Points Path was brand new when it came out, when he came on the show. I have that plugin on all of my computers. I make sure anytime I'm checking Google Flights, I'm always seeing what the points price is. Even if I know I'm buying it in cash, I'm always going to see and check what is going to be the points price. So it's a great recommendation. We have had him on the show, but no worries at all. It's a fantastic episode to listen to. Brian, this has been fantastic today. Any final thoughts, last nuggets for the listeners before we wrap this one up?
Yeah. Well, first, thanks for having me, DeAndre. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope this is helpful for folks. As I've learned so much from community, and I really think giving back to the community is something I want to do. If someone's interested in a GTFO strategy, I think they can get started with some very simple steps. First is get or stay organized in whatever way works well for you. I think second is, when booking, be cognizant of the cancellation and change fees that may apply to a booking, and consider whether that matches your confidence level of actually completing the reservation and your tolerance to pay that if plans change or a better opportunity arises. And then third, begin a practice of entering the reservation into an alert or tracking tool like Points Path or Stay With Points or Auto Slash for each primary reservation one may make. Those three changes can be pretty simple to implement and can really make a big difference. But everyone's situation and goals are different. So I think it's also important for everyone to consider options in this hobby for themselves, whether that's determining to fly Southwest or a different airline with whom you're traveling, and how much time to spend gardening those reservations. I think those considerations should really help everyone find their own best journey in this hobby.
Brian, today was fantastic. Thanks for that last piece of advice. Thanks for all the advice that you're able to give today. I think starting out with just the lens of using your expertise and knowledge of Southwest and the relevance and whether it's still relevant, I should say, for a family or the changes to make people aware of, I think is helpful. Understanding this effect of gardening, as you like to call it, something that I've always done essentially, where I'm always monitoring flights even after doing a booking. But I like having that terminology now as gardening, as you call it. So happy to keep it and allow that name to grow. I think it's a great idea that you came up with. This has been fantastic. Again, appreciate you not only being on the show today, but also being a listener of the show, being in the Facebook groups and such. So absolutely appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thanks, DeAndre.
For the listeners out there, if you've enjoyed the episode today, as always, be sure to follow us on all the social media platforms. If you want to connect with Brian, reach out to him, ping him in our Messenger chat and our Facebook group. He will happily answer your questions and chat with you as well. Don't forget the Facebook group and the newsletter are great places to get insider information. We post great travel deals that go live in our Facebook group before they even go out to our newsletter. So you have to subscribe to even catch those. That's all in the show notes as well. And as always, don't forget to like, subscribe, tell a friend, give us a rating, leave us a review, all that fun stuff. And we will catch you on the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Travel doesn't just happen when you get on a plane. I'm Pauline Frommer, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, we explore not just where to go, but how to bring travel into your everyday life through books, shows, and stories that shift your perspective, plus insights on smart destinations, timely trends, and interviews with the people shaping the way we explore. Find us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or voyescape.com.